to introduce myself. It is my pleasure to introduce my sister and friend, Sister Tracy Worley. Many of you may know of the name. I have the pleasure of knowing of the name and knowing of the person. She is my excuse remover. When I don't feel like doing something, I can just remember all of the things that she is doing. So she is one of the leaders, in fact, one of the originators of the Virtue in Christ Women's Conference. She is a hard worker for the Lord as an evangelist. She teaches classes. She does all of those things that we are commanded to do. So I always like to think of her as for such a time as this. So when there is a challenge, Tracy is a good resource. She's also a speaker, a teacher, a wife, a mother, and she is someone who has advanced her education to PhD. So she's also Dr. Worley. In fact, today, she's just taking her lunch break to share with us a word from the Lord. So all of you may give her a silent clap. Wave. And at this time, Tracy, welcome.
Thank you, sis. Thank you so much. That was really wonderful. Thank you for your kind words. I want to ask you all to bear with me, first of all, because I am at school and there could be an announcement over the PA at any moment. And hopefully that doesn't disrupt too much. But I thank Sister May and the rest of the Beltway sisters for inviting me to bring you a couple words of encouragement today. So I know the theme this month is that I may know him. I want to stick to that. I want to talk about that today. To know God is to have victory over the world, over suffering, over hardship, over persecution. And none of these things can rob us of the victory if we obey the gospel and demonstrate the obedience, that obedience through our faith and our works in faith. My prayer for you today is that, like Paul, you will say in your heart that I may know him. True freedom belongs to those who have fellowship with the Lord. And we know throughout scripture that great men and women of God said that their passion is to truly know God. Should that not be the Christian's desire? Moses said to God, I pray you show me your glory. That's in Exodus 33:18. And David prayed, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. That's in Psalm 42, the first verse. And Paul says that his heart longs to know God in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. The greatest desire of a true Christian is to know God. Every other desire pales in significance. But even some Christians don't really know God. John 14:8-9 tells us that Philip, after following Jesus for a number of years, said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And what did Jesus say? He said, have I been with you so long, yet you have not come to know me? Isn't that some of us? Maybe the problem is the word no. When the Bible talks about knowing God, it's not referring to a merely intellectual exercise. Even the devil and his minions know who God is. To know God is not just reciting his biblical resume or hearing testimony of what he's done in someone else's life. Knowing God involves encountering him yourself and finding out that he is who he says he is. It might seem surprising that Paul says he wants to know God in Philippians 3:10. After all, he knew all about God from his intense training in the Jewish law. In Philippians 3:4-7, Paul explains that he met all the religious qualifications of the day, and he was at the apex of Jewish leadership. Paul knew all about God, but Paul did not, and when he was Saul, did not know God until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that is when his life changed, because God revealed himself to Paul, not because Paul had all the right answers. That's why Paul says we should have no confidence in the flesh. You know, in order to truly know God, Paul tells us that whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul had to be willing to turn his back on his human accomplishments in order to gain knowledge of Christ. And he continued, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul uses the present tense verb count here, indicating that this is always occurring in his life, including at the time of him writing this letter to the church in Philippi. This shows us that even from the moment of his salvation, Paul continued to put things of the world far below his priority of knowing Jesus Christ. Christ became his greatest passion. Knowing him was the number one priority. And for every Christian, it should be ours as well. Because there's power in knowing Christ. Paul says that he longs to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. This power is the same force that brought Christ out of the grave. Paul is saying that he wants to know what it's like to live a resurrected life, to no longer be in bondage to the flesh, to have victory over sin. You know, if you stick a fire poker in the fire and leave it there long enough, it will become red hot because the heat of the fire has inflamed the poker. And if you take that poker and hold it close to a piece of paper, the paper will catch fire because the heat transfers to the paper. Whatever the poker touches will be lit with the same flame. If you have been in fellowship with Christ long enough, and I mean in the world, minding your conversation and keeping company with other saints, remaining uninfluenced by the world, being a light for the world, not of the world, or at least being a light for those you have an opportunity to be around. But if you've been in fellowship with Christ and you know the loving sacrifice of his death, burial, and resurrection, his love rubs off on you so that whatever you touch catches his fire. And there's power in sharing in his suffering. I have a dog at home. Most people walk their dogs on leashes. Sometimes the dog walks the people. They drag them along behind them. But when a dog and his master, when my dog is with me, we have a close, tight relationship. He don't need a leash. He's going to stay right with me. The relationship keeps the dog close by the side of his master. He doesn't have to pull or tug the dog because the dog doesn't want distance to come between him and his master. God wants us to be that close. This should be our desire, to know God in Jesus Christ, to be close to him, to want to know his power. In order to know the power of Christ's resurrection, Paul tells us that we have to know the fellowship of Christ's suffering. You know, everyone wants to experience the good stuff, the benefits of knowing Christ, but only a true follower will understand the fellowship of his suffering. Only a true follower will experience suffering and find contentment in knowing that God's got it. Because, you know, living for Jesus ain't easy. The closer you get to Christ, the greater an enemy you come to Satan. As you grow in your knowledge of Christ, you will run into challenges that are tough, awkward, and often painful. And it's at these times that Christians must make a decision. Do I really want to know him? At the place of suffering, there's also simultaneous call to intimacy. In trials, we often ask, why is this happening to me? Why me, Lord? And very often, the reason behind our trials is the decision we made or the result of a decision we made. And the pressure is on. When it gets hot, when the pressure comes down on us, this is when God takes us to the next level of intimacy with him as we trust him and grow in him. Think about a shirt being ironed. A hot, heavy iron presses down on that shirt, moving over every inch with its pressure. But this process is required to get out all the wrinkles. So in your trial, God is working out the wrinkles in every one. When we go through the fire of trials, we can't be self-sufficient because there's nothing we can do. We must rely on God. And one thing is for sure, God will use our trials to draw us closer to Him and to help us know Him better. So as I wrap up, there is a distinct perspective of knowing Christ. Think about a college student. Sometimes they decide to audit classes rather than take them as registered students. Auditing means that they can sit in on the classes and listen to the lectures, but they don't have to do any of the work or use the textbooks. Students who audit simply listen and observe. One tendency of half-hearted Christians is to audit the Christian life. They might attend church or Bible study, but they don't put those lessons to use in their daily lives. They might profess to follow Christ and even go through the motions of obedience, but they don't really know God or live in His power. Paul's priority was to know Christ, and with that priority comes power, a resurrected life, dead to the world, but in baptism, up out of the world, a new person in Christ. With that power comes pain, sharing in Christ's sufferings. So how did Paul deal with the pain? By gaining a new perspective, the perspective of knowing Christ. And in Philippians 3, 13 or 14, he said, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul acknowledges that he can't change the past, and we can't either. We don't have it all figured out. But like Paul, we must persevere toward that which for which we are called. Paul had a perspective that not all believers have. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven." That's what keeps us going. We belong in heaven. This is a different perspective from that of the world around us, where the right now is so important. The key to living victoriously on earth is to develop a mindset of heaven. Paul doesn't tell us to ignore the fact that we live in the world, to shirk our responsibility to be lights in the world. But he does tell us to live our lives ready for Jesus' return, living in light of eternity and with the assurance of the promise of heaven. This world is not our home. So as you walk in Christ, as you walk this Christian walk, it's going to get foggy, it's going to get dark, it's going to get dreary, but you're going to wonder how you will make it. But God tells us that if we pursue Him, the Spirit of God will be with us always and keep our eyes. Keep us. He'll help us keep our eyes focused on the goal. Philippians 3, 8, and 10 says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." We can persevere in God's strength so that we know, we might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you. I picked up so many notes. I don't know where to start. But I think one of the things that you said, which was so timely, is there's nothing we can do but rely on God.
That's right.
There is nothing.
Right. We don't have control over this situation at all. Mm-hmm. We think we do.
We do. But it was a very, very timely message. And I see Sister Doris put in the chat, amen, in capital letters. Okay.
Amen. All right.
Yes. So at this time, you all are welcome to give comment or make statements.
Great, great job, Sister Worley. This is Sister Melba.
Amen, Sister Melba.
I especially love the graphic you gave of the ironing the shirt, how God uses, mm-hmm. you know, tribulations to iron out the wrinkles. So that is a very good pictorial in my mind, and something that I definitely will share. So mm-hmm. thank you very much. Excellent lesson. And it's so good to have you with us.
Sister Tracy,
Sister
Bolton.
Yeah.
I truly enjoyed your topic this morning, your lesson. Two things that I will never forget: the poker iron. I'm used to the poker iron using wood stoves back home. And whatever that mm-hmm. iron touch, it burns. And when we are close mm-hmm. to God, word, it's going to burn us. We're going to be right there under him. And the other vivid mm-hmm. one you gave was my dog. If you got a dog, if that dog really knows you, you can take him outside. He's not going to run away from you. He's going to stick there right there mm-hmm. with you. I love those two. I love those two you gave. And thank you so much. I got quite a few more others that I got from it.
Yeah.
Those two will stick with me. Thank you.
Amen, sis.
Thank you, Sister Worley. That was, Sister Jordan, this is a wonderful lesson that you just presented to us. And I love those examples Amen. Also.
Amen. I'm glad.
So in the chat, Sister Miller says, great message and enjoyed all the examples, especially the fire poker.
Yes.
yeah.
My sister Sora, this is Sister Felicia Robinson. I love you. But just hearing you today, it pricked my heart in different ways. I want to thank you. Just the fact that you said the closer we get to God, the more the enemy is after us. But most importantly, God mm-hmm. wants with us and he wants to draw us closer. And so I appreciate mm-hmm. that. But most importantly, how we deal with the pain is to gain a new perspective in Christ. So mm-hmm. I thank you for that. And I thank you for reminding us that our citizenship is in heaven. Expect all the suffering, all the loss, all the things we're dealing with. We're not supposed to stay here, but we're supposed to go home to be with Christ. So thank you.
Amen. That's right.
And I just want to say, this is Sister Phillips. I just want to say thank you very much. I'm not going to prolong this, and ditto to everything everybody else said. Thank you again.
Amen. Amen, sis.
So Sister Ellen Floyd, Elaine, a.k.a. Elaine, says, something I needed to hear me carry through the day. Thanks so much.
Amen.
Amen. So, okay.